Brothers and sisters, I did not expect to be addressing you in this way even just a few days ago. These are unusual and troubled days for us. It's been a long time since our church and our world has faced a health crisis on the scale with which we're currently facing. And this is a deeply unusual time for us. Normally, as you know, on a Sunday morning like this, we would be gathered together in the auditorium of our church building for worship. And normally, right before our corporate worship gathering, I can already hear the warm sound of voices as people greet one another in the hallways of our building. And instead, I'm here inside this quiet, empty building by myself, and I must confess it's a very strange feeling. But I wanted us to have a chance to hear from God's Word, even if we can't be gathered together. There's a real sense in which, as a covenant community, as a local church, we're meant to be with one another. And there should be some type of, I feel like, a longing and a restlessness when we can't be together. And if you feel that today, that's not a bad thing. In fact, it probably is a positive thing and a good thing that you feel those sorts of feelings, because you're feeling the absence of something that is usually there that's not there right now. And so I pray that the Lord would help us to not waste this time being apart from one another, but that He would use it to cultivate and grow and deepen a love for each other and a longing to be with one another. So why don't we pray together before we turn to God's Word this morning? Father in heaven, we come to You in the name of Your Son, and what unusual circumstances we find ourselves in as Your children, as Your blood-bought sons and daughters. Father, Your Son told us that in this world we would have trouble, but to be courageous, for He has overcome the world. And so, Father, we know that nothing, neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor coronaviruses can separate us from the love of God that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray we would be strengthened and comforted by truths like that this day. I pray that You would help us to appreciate what we have in coming together as a people. Father, I pray that people who are being tempted to despair or facing anxiety over things at home and life, or even just these broader big things that are happening in our world with this illness, with this virus, Father, I pray that You would help us just to give us an unshakable confidence in Your care for us, in Your grace, and Your protection over us as a people. And I pray You would help us as we approach Your Word for a little bit this morning. I pray that You would not let it return void, and that You would use it to do big things even as we're apart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I had planned for us, the church, to return this morning to our study in Titus. We're getting very close to the end, and today I was hoping that we would consider the final verses of Paul's letter to his co-worker Titus. And instead, I want us to consider the words of the Lord Jesus from Luke chapter 12. So if you're sitting home by yourself or with your family, I would encourage you, just if you haven't already, grab a copy of God's Word, get a Bible, and let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 22 to 34, and we're going to focus on those final verses, verse 31 to verse 34. In this time. So I'll read that whole unit. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth more than the birds? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and is thrown in the furnace tomorrow, How much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious, for the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old, and inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want us to spend just a little time focusing on the words of Jesus in this passage again, particularly verses 31 to 34. And there's a few truths I think we'll see in these verses. We could find more, but I think these are three prominent ones. And each of these truths, I think, helps us answer the question, how can Christians put off anxiety in the face of uncertainty? Whether that's just uncertainty that comes with the rigors of life in this broken world, in relationships, or disappointments at work, or disappointments in the family, or even when it comes to anxiety in the face of a global health pandemic, much like the one we're facing now. So how can Christians do that? How can we as believers in Jesus Christ put off anxiety in the face of uncertainty? I think there's three truths that help us answer a question like that in our text. The first one, I think, is this. God knows what we truly need, and we can seek after him in the confidence that he will surely provide it. So that's the first one. God knows what we truly need, and we can seek after him in the confidence that he will surely provide it. The second one is this. We shouldn't worry because God delights to give us his son and his coming kingdom. And the third truth I think we can see is this. If Christ is our heart's highest treasure, then we can never lose life's greatest possession, even if everything else is taken away from us. If Christ is our heart's highest treasure, then we can never lose life's greatest possession, even if everything else is taken away from us. So let's focus upon those verses, verse 31 to verse 34, beginning with that first truth we just heard. God knows what we truly need, and we can seek after him in the confidence that he will surely provide it. So let's begin by asking, what does Jesus say in verse 31? He says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. So when Jesus says the word but, that's a conjunction. So that's referring to things that he's already said before. And the things that he said before are the things that he said in those previous verses in this passage of Luke 22 to 34. Everything he says about life being more than food and the body more than clothing, and his exhortation to even just consider the ravens and God's kind provision for them, and how God provides for the flowers even though they're basically rounded up and burned up after they're grown. And even with their short shelf life, God provides for them. So in light of that, Jesus says we're to seek his kingdom. In regards to that, believers, his followers, are to seek his kingdom, knowing that the things that they need will be provided for them. That's what he says in verse 31. So again, the way the disciples of Jesus will receive the food they need to eat, the way they will receive the clothing they need for their bodies, it's not by worrying. And this is just counterintuitive to us as fallen human creatures. We're people that are prone to worry. Some of us more than others, but all of us at different times in our lives worry. I know how we've seen in recent days, haven't we, how people can just be prone to worry. I went into Kroger to pick up some groceries and other household items earlier this week, and I was just amazed by so much of what I saw. I mean, think about this, friends. Why do people stockpile toilet paper at a time like this? Why can't Walmart and Target and Walgreens keep hand sanitizer on their shelves for longer than 30 minutes? Why do Lysol and Clorox, why have their sales skyrocketed in the last 10 days? And I think the answer to all these questions, a large part of it is because these behaviors are rooted in fear and anxiety. People are anxious that they won't have enough. People are anxious that they won't have what they need when they truly need it most. And brothers and sisters, here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is telling his followers, I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be anxiously stockpiling household goods for yourself as if you don't have a loving father who provides for you. I don't want you frantically seeking after those things in a panic. I don't want you stressing over your job security at work. My father knows you need a job. He knows you need groceries. He knows you need a house. Seek first God's kingdom first, and everything you truly need, my father will make sure you surely have. I think that's what Jesus is getting at. This leads us to the next point that I think we see again in this passage. Again, it's that we shouldn't worry because God delights to give us his son and his coming kingdom. So please read verse 32 with me again. Jesus says, don't be afraid, little flock, because your father delights to give you the kingdom. Jesus doesn't want his followers to be afraid. He doesn't want us to live in a state of panic and fear. And why? Think about this. People who keep themselves under a constant rain cloud of fear and anxiety, when we do this, we're living as if we don't have a loving father. And Jesus doesn't want us to worry because his father is glad to give us his kingdom and his son. This is why Luke 12:32 is one of my favorite verses in the Gospel of Luke. I love this command of Jesus. This is a kind command. I love it when Jesus does this. In this verse, Jesus tells his followers to stop doing something that no human being wants to do. No human being likes being afraid. Nobody loves living in fear. Nobody smiles while thinking at work, I can't wait to go home so I can lay awake in bed stressing out. Nobody does that. Why? Because we don't like being afraid. That's why this command from Jesus is so precious and glorious. It's a command to be free of something that nobody wants to do. Nobody wants to live in bondage in these ways. And Jesus' coming kingdom is a kingdom, think about this, it's a kingdom that is completely free of fear. Nobody in the new heavens, the new earth is going to live in fear. Nobody in the new heavens and the new earth is going to have days of dark anxiety. It's not going to happen. And I think that we should be encouraged by this. Know this, dear brother and dear sister. I want you to be encouraged by the hope that a day is coming when you and I will taste and see the kingdom of God in all its fullness. These days we're living in, this moment where there's just national and even global panic over this virus, this pandemic that's just overwhelming. Hospitals and healthcare systems and medical professionals are being just completely baffled by it. That will all be a faint memory in what Jesus is bringing in and what we're going to be a part of because of our union with him and his life and his death. That's why Jesus says, don't be afraid, little flock, because your father delights to give you the kingdom. This brings us to our next truth. If Christ is our heart's highest treasure, if Christ is our heart's highest treasure, then we can never lose life's greatest possession, even if everything else is taken away from us. Look with me again, please, at verse 33. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money back for yourselves that won't grow old, and an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How can followers of Jesus Christ be open-handed with their possessions, even in the midst of a crisis? I think the way you become open-handed with your stuff, your career, your house, your family, even your very life, is that you relish in the reality that Jesus is your greatest treasure. He's a treasure that can never be taken away. He's the one that thieves can't break in and steal, and that moths can't grab a hold of and destroy. And oh, how against our fallen nature it is to live under a great reality like this. It's so counterintuitive to what we naturally do, isn't it? If our treasure is in our job, think about this. If our treasure is in something like our job, then when we lose our job or age forces us to retire, we're going to be bankrupt of joy because that's where our treasure truly is. If your treasure is in things that make you feel secure outside of Christ, then when those sources of security begin to feel threatened, your joy begins to feel threatened, doesn't it? And why? It's because when that happens, your security has become a highest source of joy for you. It's become your great treasure. And one of the downsides of living in a world with huge advancements in modern medicine is that it tempts us to place our sense of security in doctors, hospitals, and vaccinations and health insurance policies, all good things. And we start thinking to ourselves, why do I need God? Or maybe we don't think that in our minds, but in our subconsciousness, we kind of feel that in the back of our mind. Why do I need God? Why do I need God when I have a doctor who can write me a prescription for my arthritis? Why do I need to rely on God for my type 1 diabetes? I have insulin shots for that. And we begin to just become so reliant and dependent on these things for our security and our comfort instead of resting on Christ and everything that God provides us for in Him. Don't get me wrong, we should be grateful for the advancements in medicine, but we shouldn't let the security that we get from doctors and healthcare professionals become our highest treasure. As long as those things are never taken away from us, we will cling to any false sense of security they provide until we reach the end of our lives. And if things that bring us security are taken away from us, then they begin to reveal where the true treasure of our joy, security, and peace really lies. So I want you to ask yourself, what anxiety is troubling you today? Maybe you have an anxiety, and it has little or to nothing maybe to do with the coronavirus. Whatever it is, brother and sister, Jesus doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to rest in those other securities. He wants you to rest in Him and His peace for your highest treasure. He wants you to get your greatest satisfaction in Him and the peace that He brings. Jesus says in verse 32, "Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom." Brothers and sisters, I want us to follow the words of the Lord Jesus in these uncertain days. I love you. I miss you. I miss seeing you and being with you and singing with you and reading God's word together. And I'm praying that we'll be able to unite again very soon. And until that day comes, let's pray that God would help us, that He would keep us and watch over us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for technologies that allow us to record devotions and sermons and how they allow us to get the gospel to people in unusual places and at different times and even do what I'm doing right now. But Father, we know that you have not designed for us to be apart. You've called out a people. You've got a blood-bought bride that's made up of individual gospel outposts in the form of local churches all across this globe. And it's not right. There's a sense of faultiness and that something's not right when we're having to be separated like this. And so, Father, I pray that we would feel the tension of that. I pray that we would have a longing to be with one another. And Father, I pray that it would deepen our love for each other. And Father, I pray that during this time that you would protect us. Father, I pray especially for our older brothers and sisters in our church that during this time where this virus is putting older members of our society at the highest risk, that you would watch over them and you would just keep a shield of protection over them and their homes. And God, I pray that you would above all help us to rest in you and your comfort. Father, help us to be what we often sing in our church, that we'd be ready to let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, to the body they may kill, but your truth abideth still. Father, help us to not just be able to sing those words, but to feel them and love them and cherish them and delight in the truth of them. And Father, I pray that you would glorify your Son in this time that we have apart from one another. So do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.